Okay, want to hear a joke, Richard?
I would love to hear a joke.
What is a ghost's favorite dance to dance?
I don't know, Aaron. What is it?
The boogie.
Hey, this is Jay.
And Aaron.
And Richard.
And we're the VCR kids. We watch movies from our childhood and we see if they still hold up. Now, childhood is a loose term for this episode. But we are continuing our spooky movies for October to get you all Halloweened up. And we are going to go with Aaron's pick today. Aaron, would you like to introduce this movie we're going to watch?
Yes. It is The Exorcism of Emily Rose. There have been a lot of exorcism movies, but this is like the first one I saw like that. And it really spooked me. And I'll explain why, but it really spooked me.
Yep. So I said this one is a little bit loose just because this came out in 2005. But I feel like it was, even at 2005, it was like a pretty... We were probably all in our 20s, right?
No.
I was a senior in high school.
Yeah, oh, wait, I was like,
that's
a
right.
Fresh...
I'm thinking of 2015 for some reason.
I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, no. 2005, we were in the teens.
Yeah, I was like a freshman in high school.
So, you know, perfect. I feel like that's the perfect age where you're like, I really don't believe this stuff, but also, maybe I believe it because it's scaring the shit out of me.
Right. So I used to go to church all the time, and I was a Baptist. So every so often I would hear things like, demons are real. I've seen one. I've heard them speak in tongues, and I've seen them like levitate tables. Demons are real, but if you have Jesus in your heart, they can't possess you, like blah blah blah. So I was like terrified of them, but I was also thinking like, oh God, I'm safe because I believe in Jesus. But then I saw this movie, which there's like a disclaimer at the beginning saying it's based off a true story, and I guess it is. And they play the tapes of her exorcism throughout the movie, which is a disturbance. But the whole setup to this is that she's in college. I think she goes to like a Christian college, and she's just minding her own business, doing nothing. And like a demon comes down the hall and like jumps in her body, and she's set up as like this good Christian girl. So I was like, oh my God, I'm not safe. Am I safe? That's the opposite of what I've heard. So I was like, very spooked by this movie. Very spooked.
Now, the Wikipedia page for this says it's loosely based on the story of Annalise Michelle.
Right.
Who died in 1976.
Right.
And apparently she went through, like, the year before she died, she went through Catholic exorcism rites, but it turns out she was diagnosed as epileptic later on, and that's why everyone thought that she was possessed by a demon, and they kind of tried to kill her.
They did kill her. That's the whole point of it. Because something like Hollywood and stuff, and the way we think about exorcisms now is not the way that they've been traditionally performed by the church. So like the boy there's a story that the exorcist and then this movie was based on, these people were being exorcised for like months and years. Like every night they come in and try and get the demon out. So like it goes on for a while. And like the exorcism is obviously like more clear on that, like it goes on for a while, but it doesn't make it seem like it's happening for like years or months. So what they what had happened is they basically like tied her to a chair and like starved her and did these exorcism sessions constantly, and it was too much.
Yeah, I'm looking at that same Wikipedia page. It looks like they did 67 exorcism sessions.
Jeez.
Sometimes lasting up to 4 hours per session over the course of 10 months. And then she died of malnutrition. I guess she kind of starved herself.
Yeah.
Wow.
So maybe this is more of a horror for the humans over the demons.
No, it's definitely presented as the demons in this movie. And they scared the pee out of me because, like I said, went against the grain of everything I thought I knew to be true as a Baptist 15-year-old.
So we've done a rare thing on the VCR Kids this month, in that we've already decided all the movies we're going to be watching for the month. And we've got some demons, we've got some ghosts, we've got some ghouls coming up. What do you guys think? Do y'all believe in supernatural stuff? Do you think it's just funny things for movies, or there's a little bit of truth? What are your thoughts?
I don't know if we've ever had this conversation outside of the podcast. I personally don't think
we have not.
I don't think there's ghosts. I always point to when I was in Cambodia, when I was visiting and volunteering there, I went to the killing fields, and I think that was the first time in my life that I just felt really uncomfortable just from a place. But I don't know if that was, you know, any sort of spiritual thing happening. That, of course, I'd read books before, saw the movie, and so psychologically I was really primed for having. So I don't know if there's anything going on there. I've never had like a ghost experience. But I also think humans, I think we learned something. Think of how much we didn't know hundreds and then thousands of years ago. I think we're always scratching the surface at what reality is. That's not to say ghosts are real. I'm just saying there's a lot we just don't know right now.
How do I explain it? So I don't believe every single person's ghost story, because there's a lot of like scientific evidence coming out about like, I can't remember if it's like a particular gas or like an electromagnetic field or like something like that, that really does affect people. And it gives you like all the symptoms it causes, like, are the symptoms of a ghost haunting, like a typical ghost haunting, like the feeling of being watched, restless dreams. It can cause you to hear like knocking sounds.
What feeling of being watched and what?
Restless dreams.
So oh, like, dreams.
Yeah, dreams.
I thought you said streams. Wait, what are we talking about here?
It can cause like a host of issues, and it's more common in older homes. Or like specific areas, like, so obviously that would account for a lot of things, but I have had a ghost experience. It's nothing like major revelatory, but like, I really have tried very hard to explain it, and there's just like no explaining it, and none of that stuff is covered under it. So,
And a little plug, you told that on Katie Black's podcast, right?
Yeah, I did.
And Richard is an episode that's coming out on Katie Black's podcast too. So y'all should listen to her podcast.
Yeah. It's that was really fun to do. So Jay, do you believe in ghosts?
My mental jury is still out on certain things. I like Aaron kind of alluded to before, and I think that we've talked about on the show before, I grew up really like evangelical Christian, and like we definitely, I don't think we talked about it as much as it sounds like Aaron's church did, but I think like there was like definitely some mentions of like demons are real and that kind of thing. I've had some experiences in my life that I kind of don't think that there's a way to like fully explain them normally, and naturally. So I don't, I'm kind of around of the thought nowadays that like, I think there is really truly like evil in the world. And I think there is really truly like good in the world. I don't think there's necessarily like personifications of them as much, you know, but I think maybe like more like energies, right? Like when I was Christian and we went on missions trips and stuff, we would see, like we would pray for people and we would like literally see them being healed. And it wasn't just like the hokey, like, oh, this person came into the revival in the wheelchair and he walked out. Like it was like, you saw people that were just coming up to you who like you saw their fever break before your eyes when you were like praying for them and stuff like that. And you know, I feel like I've experienced enough supernatural things in my life to not completely discount them, but I think that number one, like I don't have a real explanation for them at all, so I'm not going to try and explain them away. And number two, I don't think that they're personified as much as like religiousness or other types of spirituality kind of make them out to be. So I'm still kind of on the fence. And
well, per your example, if you're, it sounded like you're wrapping up. Are you done?
Yeah.
I just wanted to check, like with the fever breaking, like I've had a few things happen to me, like where my subconscious brain has totally been in charge of the show.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm not really looking for you to explain how it works to me right now.
I mean, it's not just to you, it's like also back to my point, like I've experienced sleep paralysis as well. So like I thought it, where you're kind of like in between like awake and asleep and you can't move, and like I felt like there was like a black shadow like standing over the bed, and I felt like I levitated off the bed, and like I was super freaked out the first couple times that happened, but then I realized it was sleep paralysis, and that's just like what happens. Like it's just your brain, it's like misfiring, and that's just all it is. So
I mean, I think to put it more succinctly, like I think that people's energies can be very strong. Like the energy that you put out into the world can be very strong, right? And like I think that if enough people are kind of all focusing all their energy on something positive, then positive things can happen. And I think if someone's energy is like so bad and evil, like I think that stuff can kind of like go on after they die. I know that's not scientific at all, and I'm usually pretty much like an evidence-based person, but that's just kind of like, I don't know, maybe it's just because I want to believe in that kind of thing still. I don't know.
I do wish at some point in my life I would have some sort of ghost or supernatural or alien experience, because I'm realizing my life's been very boring. It's been very normal. And I love horror movies. I love ghosts. It would be fun. So I feel cheated so far.
I don't want a thing to do with aliens. I don't want a especially thing to Martians. Do with that. Ugh. Disgusting. Like, just like, it's so unknown and so random, and it could be anything. An alien could be anything. It could be anything.
Could be a bug.
At least a ghost, it's like you can look it up and be like, oh, well, it was Mr. So and so and 1852, and he did, you know what I mean? Like, you can, or you can, like, there's some understanding of it. An alien could be something that completely blows your mind and you've never seen, and you know, I can't go there.
That does sound, I don't know if it's Stephen Hawking, but he was like, maybe we shouldn't try to contact these aliens.
Yes, listen to the man.
Bring attention to us.
Yeah, let's just go fly under the radar. Just live our lives in blissful ignorance. Ignorance is bliss, people.
You heard it here first.
As far as aliens are concerned. Because surely they're ahead of us. If you know what I mean? There's some, but you know?
Yeah.
We're just living in the good age of not being noticed.
Yeah. To tighten it up, bring it back around to exorcisms. I loved The Exorcist growing up. Like, that truly terrified me. I still think it's the best horror movie ever made because it's like, it's a classic like film. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those films that went above just the horror genre. Right. And I never watched this movie because number one, it was PG-13. And in 2005, I was like, well, that means it's not good. That means they didn't
go
the extra mile for cursing and blood and all the things that I love. I loved it at that time.
Yeah. I will say I watched this in college and did not feel scared and ended up laughing at some parts of it. So, yeah.
We'll have to see, I guess.
Yeah. It was like it was a very redemptive moment, though, rewatching it in college and laughing at the thing that had scared me so much. That's really when I started enjoying horror movies.
Well, I was about to say, like, I saw it a little bit later, The Exorcist. I think it was like the 30-year anniversary. I saw it in the movie theaters with my mom and her friend. Mm-hmm. It was like a packed theater. And this is a movie that had terrified me throughout my childhood. And everyone in the theater was laughing at the movie.
No.
And I was like, well, the thing is, it's very cathartic because I was like, this people can laugh at horror. I think that's the remedy in life.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It is like if you see something that scares you, that's why horror movies are good because they're safe. Like even if it scares you, maybe one day it won't. And then when you have that moment of just like laughing at it again, you know, that's a very like soul clearing moment. Like, I guess. I don't know. Like, you clear all your chakras out in the same time, you know? Chakra. Unblock it.
Listen, I believe in energies being put out into the universe, but if you mention chakras, I'm out.
Why not? It's just like, I had a feeling of being cleansed in that moment, so.
This movie stars American sweetheart Laura Linney. And so I'm very excited about that. And any other thoughts you guys have before we start watching it?
The main character is Deb from Dexter. Just so you know.
Woohoo.
Nope, that's it.
Not my favorite show.
The first season's very good.
Don't listen to those lies, Richard.
I'm not. I haven't seen any of it. I mentioned this before we started recording, but Tom Wilkinson is one of my... I don't know. He used to be one of my favorite actors. He was fantastic in The Bedroom with Sissy Spacek. It's a really great movie.
He's one of those guys who, like, everyone has seen him in something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's been in so many things.
I didn't realize he was British. I just learned that.
Dun, dun, dun. I didn't realize he was in The Lone Ranger in 2013. So I lost a little bit of respect for him right now.
He's got to get paid.
All right. We're going to watch The Exorcism of Emily Rose. We'll get back to y'all in a minute. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey guys, it is Jay. Listen, Calvin from a podcast about something called me out on Twitter for having low energy during the mid-rolls. So now I'm going to go back to my super pumped up voiceover voice that, you know, I used to have when we started this podcast before I got so jaded by watching over 100 kids' movies. and, you know, this is my more honest voice. This is not my, hey, I work in a kids' entertainment company like I used to. And I thought I needed to when we started this podcast. Anyway, these are the issues I'm dealing with. If you are like me and you disagree with Calvin that I should just put on a super fake energetic voice, you should let him know. He's at APA something on Twitter. I'm sure he'd love to hear about it. And if you agree with him and think that I should, please just keep it to yourself because my mental health is at stake here. Listen, I've been at home, working from home. I mean, you know, just like all of us, but oh boy, Aaron's been going in to the office to work. Into her school. She has her own little kind of like super large office now. And I'm just stuck at home with the dog and the cat all day, every day. I don't get to leave. I'm starting to lose my mind a little bit, guys. Like, I'm sure a lot of you are. And watching only kids movies all the time hasn't been helping, which is why I'm super glad we're doing these Halloween movies. Next week, we are going to be doing The Ring. So if you like to, you know, watch the movies beforehand or catch up before the episode comes out, you can watch The Ring. Super spooky movie. Get you in the mood for Halloween coming up. So that's what we're doing next week. As always, you can hit us up on social media at the VCR Kids. If you have thoughts about The Ring that you want us to read on the next episode, you can let us know. We're always open to sharing some listener feedback. And now that we're kind of planning a little bit ahead on the movies, that should make it a little bit easier. So if you want to tell us some of your thoughts on The Ring, maybe you loved it growing up, or maybe you just recently rewatched it and have some thoughts, let us know. On Twitter, we are at the VCR Kids. Everywhere else, we're at the VCR Kids. Or you can also email us, thevcrkids@gmail.com. And finally, if you go to thevcrkids.com, you can get our merch. There's a button right there that says merch. We'll take you to our T Public store where you can get, you know, face masks, you can get hoodies, you can get notebooks, all kinds of really cool things, all with our beautiful face, or Jim the Shoulder Cat. And we also have some merch for our sister podcast, Nier, which if you're not listening to, now's a great time to get into it, because we're kind of entering, I think, the final act of this story. And it's a lot of fun. So check that out. World of Nier. Good times. All right, I'm done talking now. And let's get back to the episode. Bye-bye. All right, we are finished watching The Exorcism of Emily Rose. Initial thought right off the bat, not really what I expected at all. Totally different movie than I was anticipating coming into it. I don't know about you guys, if you guys have any kind of broad initial thoughts.
I did. So, like, the scary stuff all happens, like, well before the end. And usually, like, with these movies, there's, like, an ultra-scary climax, but, like, we never really get that in this movie.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I think the closest, at least for me, was the horse, like, when they're out in the stable or whatever.
Yeah, that's when, and it got, she's craziest. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it definitely didn't feel like a horror movie. I mean, like, I don't think you could necessarily classify this in anything else, because it's, like, there's so many pretty grotesque supernatural scenes, but that's not the main plot point like you typically see in a horror movie. So it kind of felt a lot more like a courtroom drama than like a scary movie, to me at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. Kind of general impressions. I was also disappointed early on because I, up until towards the end, there's just a lot of shock scares. I made the mistake of wearing headphones while watching this movie, and
there's a lot of screeching.
Yeah, like the auditory aspects of this movie was a little unnerving, and not like in a "oh, this was creepy" kind of way. Just like, oh, this is annoying. Like, I don't like being just like surprised just for that effect, right?
So right. Yeah,
there were some pretty screechy and grotesque noises during some of the exorcism scenes. But what really surprised me is, because Holly was down there watching it with us, and she's very usually like alert to noises and things going on. She was very confused by all the cats meowing, but didn't care about anything else.
Yeah, she was like, this isn't real to the rest of it. She was like, oh, they're just watching bull crap again. Like, only cares about animal noises.
There, which 11 cats seems a bit excessive. Like, maybe that's how you let demons into your life, by like giving into cat addictions.
No, certainly not.
You don't think 11's excessive, Aaron?
I mean, they have a farm.
I don't know. Richard, you guys are pretty close. What do you think?
I could say it is, yes.
I mean, but they have a farm. Like, the cats probably have jobs to do around the farm, like catching mice and rats.
Well, they were not doing a good job. Because there were a bunch of snakes and rats all through that barn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they were demon snakes and rats.
Yeah, you know, those common things. Richard, before I forget, what would you like to explain why you were wearing headphones watching this movie?
Well, Renee is not a big horror movie fan. And I think that's why this movie was creepier than it should have been for me, because I just haven't seen a lot of scary movies in a while. Because Renee just can't do it. Roller coasters and horror movies. She's just... So I had to watch it with headphones to spare.
Like, her. What will happen if she... Like, will she just run away or like...
Will she have nightmares?
I think, yeah, she just doesn't like the idea of something on purpose being scary, especially visually. She's like, why would like they do that?
She loves accidental scares.
That's funny because like... I have anxiety and like I feel like watching horror kind of like relieves it in like a safe way. You know, like you get the tension built up and you're like, ooh, and then it's like gone. But Renee like is the least anxious person I think I've met in a while. And so it's like funny that she doesn't like it. But I've heard a lot of people with anxiety say they like really enjoy horror. And so it kind of makes sense that someone without that would like swing the opposite way and be like, no.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't make sense to me because we listened to the East Area Rapist, the what is that? I'll Be Gone in the Dark or I'll Be. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that creeped me out. Everything in real life creeps me out because those people are like, you know, they're dead.
Real.
Right. Like they actually died, which disturbs me. And but this doesn't necessarily. Well, this movie was based on true events, like we said.
Yeah, you could have just told her this was a real story. Tell her it was true crime.
Oh, I should have, yeah.
You probably still have 48 hours in that rental, right?
Yeah. We'll be right back. No.
No.
Oh, also, speaking of Renee, Calvin from a podcast about something made me aware that we never officially announced it on the podcast, but Richard is now engaged, so congratulations to Richard.
Yes, we are very happy. Planning, of course, in the post-COVID world, who knows, right? So it's next year and we will see what happens. And I know you can't
speak of the devil.
Yeah, Renee's right behind me. Hey, Renee.
Hi.
So anyways, yeah, we're happy.
What did she say?
We're recording right now. Anyways.
So let's talk about this movie a little bit. The movie starts with... How does it start? It starts lawyer. With the lawyers, right?
Yeah.
It starts in the prosecuting law firm.
Nope. It starts at the farmhouse when the family's all sitting around shell shocked and like the guy comes in. Yeah.
It starts
and, like,
with her
we
death.
See the priest in the window and
yeah. And her farm looks just bleak. It looks just terrible.
Definitely needs a new paint job.
Yeah. Oh, I'd like to add that this is a Screen Gems movie, and that means it was probably filmed in Wilmington.
Aaron spent way too much time saying like, oh, this looks like that building in Wilmington. Oh, this looks like that building in Wilmington.
I will have you know, Aaron, that I stayed all the way through the credits as a true film lover, and this was shot in Vancouver, so...
Not Wilmington. There you go. But Screen Gems does have like huge studios, and that's the one in Wilmington.
Yeah. So basically, the plot line follows this lawyer representing this priest, who is being accused of negligent homicide. Everyone is saying, well, not everyone, but the prosecution is saying that this girl died because she was epileptic and the priest told her to stop taking medicine and put her under a lot of like duress with this whole exorcism ritual. And the defense is saying like, well,
I guess their argument kind of ends up being like, this is what they wanted to do. And like, whether or not you believe it, like they believed it, kind of like the family and the priest and the girl.
Right.
And like we kind of already mentioned, it's kind of just a courtroom drama along those lines. And it hits a lot of those courtroom drama tropes of like the lawyer kind of doubting themselves throughout. It also hits a lot of those spiritual or like religious horror movie tropes of the main character struggling with whether or not they believe and that kind of thing.
I feel like this movie follows a lot of the beats, or tries to, of The Exorcist. Like the way that guy comes in the beginning to the farmhouse, like he's dressed like The Exorcist. Like he's got the bowler hat and the suitcase and the black coat and everything. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. You're saying it's hitting a lot of the beats of The Exorcist.
Yeah, and the lighting is very similar. It's like cold and stark, and it's coming from the diagonal corner, which is usually how they did it a lot in The Exorcist. And what else?
Well, I think one of the biggest differences that I did not like about this movie is when she's a demon and talking with the priest. It's very mm-hmm. frenzied. Right, like the music is pitched and she's, you know, all this stuff. I think the thing that scared me the most as a kid about The Exorcist was that she would talk with the priest and it'd be very calm, right? Yeah. Like she was possessed and it's just like a demon talking to a priest.
Yeah,
and I think that disturbed me.
Well, she was possessed by one demon. This girl was possessed by six demons.
Oh yeah, and she let us know quite a few times.
Yeah,
counting up to six
in various languages.
But you're right.
and I called that doctor dying, and not only does he die, he gets hit.
Gosh.
He gets hit by a car.
Which, Aaron had so there were like 3 points in this movie where Aaron was like, "This is gonna happen," and then like 5 minutes later, it happens, and she's like, "I told you it was gonna happen." It's like, Aaron, you've seen this movie.
Like, yeah, but I didn't like remember everything about it. Like I really didn't.
Clearly you did.
No, I could just sense it coming. Like as soon as we saw the doctor on the camera, I was like, he's not gonna make it.
That might have been my least favorite part of the movie. Not necessarily that he died. That was fine. he crashed through the windshield and like in a split second, she's cracking open alcohol. Like
yeah, easily survivable. Honestly, the windshield is like probably the most cushioning port. Like it would suck, like it would hurt, you'd get cut up, but you wouldn't be like dead.
Right. I just didn't like the edit.
Yeah, it was bad. But also like
there's quite a few like editing and directorial choices that I did not really agree with in this movie. Like her walking in the snow, like her when she finds the locket. Like just that scene was so out of place with everything else that was going on. I was like, this is,
and that
like, it
locket,
just looked
it was
so fake. And I know it was supposed to be like this spiritual experience where like she was connected to the spiritual world and this coincidence happened. But like, it just looked, there were several scenes in this movie that just looked very soundstagey and it just really took me out of it.
I'll also say that made no sense whatsoever. Like I'm interested in like the occult and I just like watch things about it. I'm just interested in it. So I know some things about it. Like that's not a thing, you know, like, oh, I found this locket from fate. And then it like protects you like from God, like the priest was saying, where like, that's not a thing. That doesn't happen. That's like mixing too many. Yeah, that's not a thing.
You heard it here first here, folks. That's not a thing.
No. It's like, no, it's not.
I don't know. I mean, like that aside, it just was. And then the scene when he was, when the priest woke up at 3 a.m. and was like having the demonic experience, and there was about 7 shots of the hallway like twisting in like the like something you can do in iMovie, and it just was too much for me. Like, I think overall, like, totally honestly, I think overall the direction was like really good. But there were just like a few things that took me out of it. But that and how close Laura Linney sits to everyone.
Oh yeah.
Like, she's like literally touching everyone she sits next to. Like, maybe this is just like post COVID like gut reactions, but it's like, I don't think that I would want her sitting that close to me if we were talking.
Her hair drove me nuts in this movie.
Yeah, Aaron mentioned her hair several times.
It looks like a rat's nest. Like, it's so like, it did. It was just like, it was not good. Like, it might have been a wig even. Like, it was bad. Like, just like, there's way too much product in it. And there was like clumps where they tried to make it look tousled. But because there's all the product, it just like clumped and looked gross. Like, some scenes it was fine, but then other scenes it just looked terrible. It's like super spiky, and I didn't like it.
I Google searched rat's nest, and I disagree, Aaron. I don't think it looked like a rat's nest.
Search rat's nest hair, because that's like a common term to describe someone's hair if it looks bad.
I do think that they did kind of, I did notice it, and I feel silly for agreeing with this, but the whenever she went to sleep, it was always like still like hair sprayed up, or like that's what kind of made me think it might have been a wig also. But
yeah, I
like
think
every time she like laid down on the bed, it's like, that's not what your hair is supposed to do if you're laying down. It's just like plastered like straight up.
Yeah, they're either putting like tons of product in it, or it was just a wig.
I was a big fan of the priest, his acting, Tom Wilkinson.
Yeah, I
think he was probably like, him and the prosecution lawyer, I feel like, were probably the strongest, just because I feel like everyone else, and because it of the nature of the movie, but a lot of the other people were like really extreme, or like really over the top. I'm not over the top, but like, again, it's a demon possession movie, so of course there's going to be some pretty extreme acting, right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Deb from Dexter honestly did a really good job being possessed by a demon, because when I watched it, I was like, oh, they didn't have to do that many special effects for this movie. Like, she just had to like move around really weird and squat and stuff, and it just made it...
spiders.
Yeah, and it just made it seem like they didn't... You know what I mean? Like, they weren't like doing much. Like, there weren't many special effects for this movie.
There was the one where the prosecution was like, now, if you saw a homeless person on the street eating insects, would you think that was mental illness? Like, no, I would be much more convinced of a demon possession in that situation. I was just seeing, like, if I saw someone eat bugs, I would not be like, that's definitely a mental illness. I'd be like, something is very not right going right now. Like, oh, there's huge beetles and
This actually made me want to like read an actual account of this story. Like, I want to hunt down a book and read it.
I read a few articles online about it.
Yeah, you know, it's always right internet.
Well, there's a lot of like pictures and stuff. Like, the real person, I guess, lived in Germany. Her name was Annalise Michael. And it was over 10 months. But the thing that's like just so shocking is like at the end of everything, she was only 63 pounds.
Wow.
That's how much she weighed. And like, there are pictures of her. Some of them are like her in the bed, just like laying there, like rolling around. But I guess there's a couple of when she's like in the middle of it, and she looks scary as heck. Like, she's like creeping around the corner, like with big devil eyes, like, I'm gonna get ya. And it's like, okay, like, thanks, but no thanks. Like, I kind of get why people maybe thought she really was possessed, but it just seemed it was the same argument. Like, people said she had like epilepsy and psychosis. They also said that this is what makes me think it's not real the most, more than anything else, was that the exorcism had come out, or the exorcist had come out just like a year or two prior to when all of this started. They said she was expressing some symptoms before that movie came out. She'd been expressing symptoms for a long time. But then once that movie came out, suddenly she, and if you listen to the actual recordings, she sounds a lot like the actress who was playing Reagan in The Exorcist. Like, she's copying a lot of like the sounds and the tone and everything that happened in that movie. So,
I mean, maybe the demon was doing that on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
We still don't know, is my point.
Another part I wasn't a huge fan of was right at the end when they found her guilty, or they found him guilty. And I was like, well, yeah, that's the whole time I was like, I would have found him guilty of some sort of negligence, right? And then he's like, I want to be sentenced right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the jury had a recommendation, which, all right, let's just hear the recommendation.
Your Honor, we know that you've spent most of your life trying to get into this disposition, but us minimum wage workers, we think we know what's best here.
Right. A little off the cuff. We already have a recommendation for you. And she immediately was like, yeah, that sounds great. I don't know. I'd have to see what really happened if that was the case. That's why I was like, okay, I need to find the real story for this. Because that sounds a little dramatized.
I think the real one was like, what, in like the 70s or something?
Yeah. Like, it started like in the late 60s. And then she like really started freaking out like in 74, 73, 74, around there.
This is not a period drama.
No. This squarely happens in 2005.
Squarely.
Yeah, but yeah, the original thing happened in Germany, and they had more of a case. Like, I feel like if this did happen in America, they'd be like, no, you're going away, and you're going away for a while. But in Germany, they have like a law that protects like any expression of religion. So you cannot, I mean, with good reason, right? Like, you can't be locked up for like doing religious rituals or like rites or whatever. Cause they tried that once before, is my point. So they were saying like, you can't send us like for this because we're expressing our Catholic faith and this is like part of it. So they had kind of a stronger case than like, this is just silly nonsense for like, this would never happen in America. They'd be gone, like put away.
Okay.
They would.
I think we need to start like a side podcast where we just like get Erin talking about any topic and just let her go on for like,
yeah,
a couple hours.
Let her rip or something.
Do you not agree that this would not happen here?
Wait, when you say not happen, are you talking like, about they would have put that guy in prison?
Yeah. Like, there wouldn't have even been drama.
I think
about
that
it.
The issue was more around, I mean, and again, this is like a fictionalized version of this whole thing, as we mentioned, but I think that the issue of the case was more around like they, like the girl and the family and everyone involved with it thought that this was the right thing. And so like, can we charge him for doing something even if he was like asked to do it and like truly believed it was the right thing to do kind of thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, because the family at the end, I don't know if you saw this, like, okay, so he's guilty, but time served. The family was like shaking hands behind. Like, I think they wanted this priest to get off as well.
Yeah, they testified for him.
So it's like, yeah, they were on board with this whole thing.
Yeah, I'm just saying like in the United States, I feel like they would have been like, no, no. Because like it should be obvious to you that she's like sick and unwell. And like if you're 63 pounds, like, you know what I mean? Like, absolutely not.
I think maybe.
Yeah, but I guess at a certain point, like what, I guess, who are you protecting if like everyone involved is on the same page? You know what I mean?
Other kids.
This is a very religious country, though. And I think if this came out, if this court case happened in the 70s in America, I don't know. Maybe it'd be more agreeable to
nonsense. Yeah, but these are Catholics. And our country is run by evangelicals.
Right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can hear more about that on our new podcast, Letter Rip, with Aaron.
Letter Rip.
What do you guys think? Do you think that this movie holds up?
It's not scary. Like, it's not gonna scare you. Like, you might be like uncomfortable watching all this happen, but like I said, there's like no effects really. Like, there's seriously no special effects. It's just like disturbing to watch her act like that. But I mean, I found myself being like, wow, she's like doing a whole lot for this role. Because it's all just that girl, like what she can do physically. That's it. So it's not really scary. And it doesn't have like a scary climax or anything. So it's interesting to watch. But it's not like scary. So it kind of depends. Like if you're going into it thinking you're going to watch a horror movie, you're going to be disappointed and think it's not going to hold up.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like it had one foot in courtroom drama, the other foot in a horror movie, and it didn't really succeed with either. It wasn't a bad movie, though. Like I enjoyed it.
All that could have fixed it is if they like switched his days. I don't know, like made like that climax happen actually at the end.
Well, I'll tell you my biggest issue with this movie. I keep on saying the biggest. Anyways. A big issue I have with this is that spooky stuff started happening to the lawyer. I kind of liked it with a straight courtroom drama, but the flashbacks being very creepy. I like that kind of back and forth. Once it started happening to her, it felt like a cheesy horror movie.
Mm. Yeah, it felt like it was picking a side.
Right.
Whereas like a lot of it was not really, like it was kind of an issue of like, who's right? Like, who do you believe? Like,
right.
Yeah.
That's a fair point.
I feel like maybe they chose to do that because, like, even when you're making movies, like, I feel like when they made The Exorcist, didn't like spooky stuff happen? Or like people said, or there were like rumors of spooky stuff happening?
Like on the set, like the production of it?
Or like to the people. You know, there's like this sense of like cursed projects and things. So I think that's what they were like trying to do or like evoke. But I guess to degrees of success, I guess.
Well, I think kind of like I said at the beginning, this is not at all what I expected it to be. I agree with you guys. I don't think it was a bad movie. Like, I don't know if I would necessarily encourage people to go and search it out. Like, I think there's better, you know, courtroom dramas and there's better exorcism movies.
Yeah, just watch The Exorcist.
I would not, if it were not for this podcast, I would not have paid to rent this movie. But I could definitely see if it was like, if it comes on to like Netflix or something like that and you're just kind of like in the mood, like, yeah, totally. Like, I don't think it's bad. I just think it's kind of not something to necessarily seek out, you know?
Right.
And I, like we kind of mentioned, I do think a lot of the performances were good. I think that the prosecutor who was in House of Cards as well, I thought he did a really good job, and the priest and everyone was pretty good. But it was an okay movie.
Yeah. I actually thought Laura Linney was the worst one.
Oh, wow.
Like, she just came across kind of like...
Aaron, how could you say these things, all these terrible things about America's sweetheart, Laura Linney?
Like, it just, like, no, she's probably a fine person. It just felt like she wasn't into it, you know?
Yeah. I wish there were more scenes like that fog scene towards the end with the tree and everything. I thought that was really well shot. And kind of like once she decided she was talking to the Virgin Mary or something and decided, no, I want to go back in my body. Like that was an unsettling sound in her being back. Like that was very effective for me. So I wish more of the movie had been atmospheric and creepy like that.
More of the like Harry Potter at King's Crossing.
Oh, yeah.
Talking to Dumbledore.
That's right.
This movie came out first.
You're right. They totally stole it.
They did. I just like that scene always bugged me a little bit because you can't, there's not even like a light in the distance that she's talking to. There are literally like zero special effects beyond the fog. Because
the whole thing is like, is it really happening or not? Like,
right.
You have to make that decision for yourself.
Yeah. It could have just been her out in a field talking to herself.
It's also a way to save money. Is all I'll say. And they did a few things, like they pulled the covers off her, they knocked a few things around, slammed a few doors.
I mean, they did have a pretty large snake and rat budget, so I can understand wanting to cut corners in other places.
We didn't even talk about him being attacked by those cats and the snakes. I know we kind of talked around.
Oh my god.
That was so bad.
I lost it when that cat jumped up and attacked him.
It really didn't even attack him. They just kind of were running around in it. I would love for a cat to jump to my face. It didn't claw him or anything.
I don't know about that one.
It seems fun. Like, hey. Oh my god.
One of these days you're gonna be attacked in the face by a stray cat.
No.
And I'm gonna be like, remember Halloween 2020, and you said you wanted this. You're in the hospital with like bandages all over your face.
I specifically said it didn't scratch him or anything.
When we're like in court suing the cat owners,
it just
like,
jumped on his shoulder.
To the stand, and I'll be like, well, she did say that she wanted this. So,
I mean, like a jump up to say, hey, in your face, like that's not bad.
It's recorded, we have evidence. Anyway, I don't know if I would recommend watching this movie to get in a spooky mood at all. I don't know if it's necessarily very Halloween-y, other than the fact that they mention Halloween a few times. Sorry, I got like a hair on my tongue.
Yeah, they do mention it, but that feels like half-hearted.
Yeah, I know you want to wrap it up, Jay. It is kind of bizarre how that priest every once in a while would mention things that were just not Catholic at all. It's like, is he a mystic? Is he some weird general spiritual person, you know, with the 1,000-yard stare and just kind of dabbles in everything?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think we're conditioned to think that like priests only think about the church. And like, there's a lot of priests who are like, interested in a lot of other things and a lot of other people.
Okay. Yeah. Halloween. Yeah. You got that hair, Jay?
I got it.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, check it out if you want. Not a strong recommendation from us, but what we can recommend is listening to more of our episodes. If you haven't listened to The Addams Family yet, that is a much more spoopy Halloween movie that will definitely get you in the right vibes. And you can stay tuned because we have two more scary movies coming for the rest of the month for October. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We are at the VCR Kids. Love to talk to you guys on there, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Shoulder.
Cats.
Radio.
Dot com.